Good morning, I'm Anthony Moreno. It's 6:45. At least 2,500 Native American women have been murdered or they've gone missing in North America since 1900. There are likely more, but many cases go unreported, and one researcher is trying to change that. Here's Fronteras reporter Laurel Morales.
It's not mandatory for law enforcement to add missing people to a federal database, and some officers haven't gone to the effort of even listing a person's race on the police report. So Anita Lucchese has made it her mission to create her own database of murdered and missing Native women.
I was almost one of the women on this list. If something like that happened to me, I would want to be honored and remembered.
Lucchese, who is a Southern Cheyenne descendant, has gathered her data from public information requests, newspapers, social media, and other sources. And she's been able to detect some trends in her research, like the number of girls listed in foster care when they were assaulted or went missing.
We know that there's a relationship between foster care and trafficking, but the database is able to prove that. 65% of the girls who are in foster care when they went missing or were murdered, were actually victims of trafficking or sexual assault.
On the Navajo Nation, there are more than 100 missing or murdered women in Lucchese's database. Council Delegate Amber Canazba Crotty has worked to pass stronger laws against trafficking and violence against women. She's also having tough conversations at home with her daughters.
I know in the research that I'm doing, it's 12 to 16-year-old Native girls. We know that they're being preyed upon. And not only is it my daughters, but it's their friends, our relatives, and our community. So we have to have these conversations.
Crotty says talking about it, even though it's taboo, gives young women another layer of armor. I'm Laura Morales in Flagstaff.
A Blue Cross Blue Shield of Texas review change was supposed to start in June, but has been delayed 2 months due to backlash from doctors, including the Texas Medical Association. Basically, it's a stricter review process for HMO members. If they go to out-of-network ERs for something classified as a non-emergency, they may be responsible for 100% of the ER bill. Physicians don't like it because they say it violates the prudent layperson law and could be deadly if seriously ill patients delay care. Allison Lee reports.
And this is where our sickest patients come when they first come in the door.
To learn firsthand about this, I'm in the ER at Bentob Hospital in the Texas Medical Center. That's where I met up with Dr. Allison Haddock.
Looks like 10's admitted to neurology, 11's new, waiting to be seen.
She's on the board of the Texas College of Emergency Physicians. The group, along with the Texas Medical Association and 17 other Texas medical societies, sent a letter to the Texas Department of Insurance in protest of the change. They said it expects patients to self-diagnose, which they say could be fatal if care is delayed.
I think it's wrong to be putting that extra burden on patients when they're in their times of greatest need. No one wants to come to the emergency department. That's no one's idea of a great time. But when people look at their situation and think, I think I'm having a medical emergency, they have the right to come access our care. But we also need you to have the right to have your insurance company pay appropriately for the care that you need.
Haddock believes the change is a violation of Texas's prudent layperson law, which protects patients' rights to seek emergency care without pre-authorization for coverage and doesn't allow insurance companies to base that coverage on a final diagnosis, but rather the initial symptoms. What's Blue Cross think about all of this?
If you have or you think you have an emergency condition, go to the emergency room. And if that's the case, it's going to be covered.
That's Dr. Robert Morrow. He's Blue Cross Blue Shield of Texas's president for the Houston region. He says the new process, in fact, embraces the prudent layperson standard.
It doesn't look at the diagnosis that somebody leaves the emergency center with. The review looks at the reason the person sought emergency care. We follow the law now. That is not going to change.
Morrow says it's a stricter claims review process, which is then still open to appeal. And he says they've found over 80% of their out-of-network ER claims are from freestanding emergency rooms. Vivian Ho, a health economist at Rice's Baker Institute, says getting treated at some of those freestanding ERs can be expensive. She says they need the extra oversight.
A small group of bad actors who are operating certain freestanding emergency departments have brought this intervention upon themselves. So it's something I think we actually need because of the growth of freestanding emergency departments in Texas.
The Texas Association of Freestanding Emergency Centers maintains it's the insurance companies who are unlawful for allegedly not providing consistency in rates for their emergency care. Texas became the first state to allow freestanding ERs almost a decade ago. Those visits tend to be out of network, so they can be costly. But Ho thinks Blue Cross Blue Shield of Texas's review change could end up saving money for policyholders because it lowers the amount of wasteful expenditures. Back in the emergency room,
is there anyone on the EKG protocol right now?
Dr. Haddock is preparing for her 1 p.m. shift. She says the potential new review policy crosses a line.
I'm hoping that this is not the place that we're going as a country. You know, we want to be there for people, and that's why people go into emergency medicine, is to provide that kind of care.
And she says you'll never know who won't seek care out of fear of a surprise bill. In Houston, I'm Allison Lee.